Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
I know Mitch. I've known the guy for over 30 years now. I know the guy. You can come up to me and say things to me about Mitch, and there are some things, if you say them to me, I can go, yeah, I could see Mitch doing that. And then there are other things that you might say to me about Mitch, and I go, you're a stinking liar. That would never happen, because I know the man. See what I mean? I know the guy. And so it's the same kind of know that we have in this kind of passage. It's a knowing God. It's an ongoing relationship with him. I have eternal life when I have an ongoing relationship with Christ, and it's not found anywhere else. He's the life. Life is in him. It's not in his statements or in his teachings or in anything. It's not in his church. It's not in his word. It's not in his, and you know what I mean, right? It's not in all those things. It's him. And I can go to church and I can read a Bible and I can say prayers and I can have a relatively moral life and I can be doing all of this stuff and not be in a relational relationship with Jesus. I can do all the trappings and not have the reality. It's in knowing him. And so whenever I'm talking to people about whether or not they're Christians, I'm not really worried about what necessarily they have been doing in the sense of, well, I go to church. That doesn't define a Christian for me. Well, I've read the Bible. I've read the Bible five times. Are you a Christian? Yeah. Well, I've read the Bible five times. And if they say it like this, yeah, I've read the Bible five times, the yeah makes me comfortable. The I've read the Bible five times, I'm like, why are you going there? Okay. If they don't say yeah, if I go, are you a believer? And they go, well, I've read the Bible five times. I know I'm dealing with somebody who's not, because it has nothing to do with Jesus. It has nothing to do with actually having a walk with God. It has to do with a works type of thing. Or are you a Christian? Well, I go to church. Are you a Christian? Well, I got baptized when I was a baby. Or are you a Christian? I got baptized when I was an adult. Are you a Christian? And all of this stuff. Eternal life is found in Christ. And so it's just a really simple thing in the Bible. And John is the one who framed it. It's in John, 1 John chapter 5. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God doesn't. And it's that simple. And that's what he's talking about in this passage. I have the Son, I have life. And if I don't have the Son, I don't. And I don't care about all the theology. I don't care about it. Because theology, a lot of times, is just something that's thrown in there, and it confuses people. This is simple stuff. Little kids can understand this. Do you have Jesus in your life? And a little kid, if he does, he'll go, yeah, I do. I talk to him all the time. And, I was praying, and they'll start talking to me about what Jesus did. I was praying to him the other day, and this is what Jesus did for me. And he healed my puppy, or he healed my cat. And, I'm thinking of back to Sunday school days, and some of you, you know what I'm talking about. And they're all excited about the Lord. And again, it's that simple. And if I'm talking to a little kid who doesn't, do you know Jesus? And they'll just say, no. Do you want to? And some little kids go, I don't know. And some little kids go, yeah, how do I do that? And then it's, again, that simple. This stuff is simple stuff. And we need to watch out for doctrinal positions that will put us at odds with the simplicity of the gospel. And so salvation is found in Christ. Eternal life is found in Jesus. I want eternal life. It's in the realm of Jesus, not in the realm of anything else. Okay. And you know me, I'm into theology and all that stuff. So I don't just dismiss that, but this is what it's about. This is where it all points. And if it starts pointing some other direction, you're in bad theology. Then it goes on and says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may have fellowship with us, And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And so John, as an apostle, is coming to the believers that he's writing to, and also to us 2,000 years ago, and he's saying to us, that which we have seen and heard, we're the witnesses of the ministry of Christ. You know that every book in the New Testament was written either by an eyewitness of the ministry and the resurrection of Christ, or a close associate of an eyewitness of the ministry and resurrection of Christ. Every single book in the New Testament. That's why there's no books being added to the New Testament, because you have to be somebody that can testify of the ministry and the resurrection of Jesus. That's why the Mormons can't add books to the Bible. That's why other groups can't come up with new theology or new teaching about who God is, because the New Testament is about nothing but the ministry and the death, the resurrection of Jesus. That's what it's about. And so there's no other subject matter in the New Testament. It's all pointed in that direction. And so it's got to remain there. So John, as a witness, says, what we've seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. That word fellowship is a word koinonia, and it's a word that speaks about joint participation in something possessed in common. You know, there are these times when you run into people and you absolutely click with them. And it may be just because of personality, but most often it has to do with the fact that you have something in common. And so there have been times when I've gotten on a plane or been traveling somewhere, and I'm talking to an absolute stranger, and all of a sudden we're just clicking on some level. And so it may be a common interest, or, you know, sometimes it's an interest in science, sometimes it's an interest in a sport or in a hobby or things like that. But there's a clicking that goes on, and there's a tightness that takes place, and there's a oneness. And it may just be a minimal oneness, but there's a oneness there. That's koinonia. That's fellowship. And we all have fellowship in Christ. The thing that we have in common is not our societal backgrounds. The thing that we have in common is not just that we're Americans, or that we have a certain skin color, or that, you know, we come from a certain heritage, or that kind of thing. The thing that we have in common is Jesus. That's why you can have a group of people who are so diverse in the sense of they come from all socioeconomic backgrounds, and all kinds of different things have happened in their life. We've got people in our fellowship who've loved Jesus from the time that they were little kids, and have a background in Christianity that goes back five, you know, generations. And then we have other people who just came, you know, full blown out of the world, and they're rough around the edges, and, you know, all, you know, they came from all kinds of messed up backgrounds. And then we've got everything in between, and we've got people from all kinds of different races and all that kind of stuff. And it, you know, the reason that can happen here is because we have something in common. And the thing we have in common is not race, and it's not economy, and it's not parental performance, and it's not where we went to school. It's Jesus. And so there's a clicking that takes place there. And that's the kind of fellowship that God wants to bring us into. He wants to bring us to fellowship with the apostles, with us, is what John says. You're going to have fellowship with us, just as our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. And that's, again, always the goal in our walks with God. I want to have fellowship with Jesus. I want to have fellowship with the Father. I want to have a tightness that's there. I don't want to have to go through somebody. You know, there's a lot of religions on this planet that place themselves firmly as a go-between between you and God. And God has never wanted that. I am not your go-between between you and God. I'm not the guy that sometimes people will say, well, you pray because I think your prayers are better. I don't know that. there's a lot of times I've had new believers pray, and I'm sitting back, you know, learning from the things that they're saying. And I'm remembering what it was like when I first knew Jesus, when I talked to him that way. And I thought that I was stupid when I was saying the things that I was saying. And every older believer around me is going, oh, I remember that. I remember when it was that tight. I remember when Jesus was just the guy who could do anything for me. And, you know, when he was the guy that I was just absolutely in love with. New life is a really good thing. In any case, we want to have that kind of fellowship again with the apostles, and ultimately we want to have the fellowship that we're supposed to have with the Lord. When we have that kind of fellowship, that's where, again, where eternal life is found. So our fellowship is with the Father and with his son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. And so right there, without moving on to anything else, I can know that I can have full joy if I will get a real understanding of who I'm dealing with as far as who Jesus is. And if I can, at that point, after I've gotten my real understanding of who Jesus is, as much as I can understand, if I will focus on him, because that's where life is found. And if I'll get rid of all the rest of it, and I'm not saying that, you know, church isn't important because Jesus said it is, not saying that the word's not important because Jesus said it is. All those things are important, but they are not the thing. And if I can focus in on Christ and put my head in the place where it's just me focusing on the Lord and focusing on my relationship with the Father and with the Son, and if I can keep that there, I'm going to have full joy without even moving on to anything else. I'm going to have full joy. And so if I'm lacking in joy, I'm lacking in fellowship. And it's not fellowship with you. If I'm lacking in joy, I'm lacking in fellowship with the Father and with the Son. That's why I don't have the joy. He goes on in the passage and he says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." And so John goes on in his message, and he lets us know that God is light. And there's a reason that he's doing this. There were teachings at the time, specifically with the Gnostics, that there was kind of this twofold nature with God in the Bible. That the God in the Old Testament was kind of the bad God because he created physical things and he was, you know, anything physical was wicked and evil, and you had to move from the physical to the spiritual, and there's all this weird stuff. I'm not going to get into Gnosticism, but it's just all this convoluted stuff. And so the Gnostics thought there were two aspects to the nature of God, and that what we could do is we could approach the light aspect of God, and it didn't really matter what we did with our lives. In other words, one group of Gnostics, I told you last week, were into asceticism, and they wanted to get rid of the flesh, and they wanted to be super spiritual, and they go off into the deserts all the time and try to focus on being the spiritual being. And other Gnostics were like, well, you know what? We're in the flesh anyway. It's all physical anyway. And so the physical aspect of my body doesn't really touch me. And so I can still have this spiritual light that's going on within me and do a bunch of things with my body that are just over the top. And so they would be getting into all kinds of debauchery, going to temples and sleeping with prostitutes and that kind of thing, and saying, well, it doesn't touch my spirit. It just touches my body. And what God is saying in this passage is that when you're dealing with God, God's light, there is no darkness in him. And if we say, again, that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we're lying and we're not practicing the truth. You can't have a real fellowship with God. You can't have a real oneness with someone that you are in opposition to by your lifestyle. So I've had conversations with people. I'm a scuba diver, okay? And so I've had conversations with people. Actually, there's been a couple of different times where I've talked to, you know, I've been on some trip or going someplace, and I'm you know, talking to them about scuba diving, and they're all like, oh, yeah. And they think that they know something about scuba diving. And I've even had people tell me that they were scuba divers, and they start telling me things that if you did that, you would die. You're not a diver, because if you ever did that, you're a dead man. You're already dead. You know, and so they don't know what they're talking about. And at that point, I know that they're faking it. I know that they're walking in scuba diving darkness. They don't know, they don't know the reality. And it's the same thing with people who say that they have fellowship with God, and they're doing things that are against what the Lord would have them do. And so Gnostic excess is one of them. There are passages in the Bible that deal with this stuff. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 5 real quick. I'm just going to take you through a few passages. And what I'm doing is answering what is darkness. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 9. The whole passage is obviously good. But starting in verse 9, he says this, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. And so the point that he's making is that when he said, you need to stop hanging out with people who are sleeping around, he wasn't talking about people in the world. He was talking about people who say that they're Christians. People in the world, that's what they do. And he wasn't talking about staying away from the covetous, greedy people who are from the world, because that's what people of the world are into. They're just greedy. They want what they want, and they want it now. And he wasn't talking about people who are idolaters or extortioners. He says, then you would have to go out of the world. He goes on in verse 11, but now, and what he's saying is, I'm clarifying here, but now I've written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler. That's a guy who gets up in people's faces and screams and yells, and that's his lifestyle. Or a drunkard or an extortioner. Not even to eat with such a person. For what do I have to do with judging those who also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. And he's talking about a guy who's sleeping with his stepmother in the passage. And so this is darkness. So when a person says that they have a relationship with Christ and their lifestyle is something that includes sexual immorality, greed, idolatry. Idolatry at that point, back in those days, were worshiping false gods and doing the sexual immorality that went with it. Somebody who's a reviler, these are partiers, a reviler or a drunkard, and he goes on, or an extortioner. And obviously that's somebody who's trying to get money off you and threatening you to do this and not even to eat with such a person. That's all darkness. Okay, turn over to Ephesians, actually Galatians chapter 5. It's interesting, all these chapters all these descriptions are in the fifth chapter of these books. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Let's start in verse 16, just for a little context. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And so I need to not walk in the flesh, I need to walk in the Spirit. And then he says this, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so when you look at passages like this, there are all kinds of different theologies out there, and there are theologies that would ignore this and say that this doesn't matter in a believer's life. This is darkness, you guys. And if you're walking in darkness, you are by definition not walking in the light. And so these are things that if they are happening in my life, they need to be dealt with. They don't need to be excused. And so when you're looking at the description there, adultery is obviously sex with somebody outside of your marriage that's married. Fornication is just sexual immorality in general. It includes sex outside of marriage, but it includes all kinds. And so it includes homosexuality, it includes bestiality, it includes incest, it's all of that stuff. It's just sex outside of marriage. Uncleanness and lewdness has to do, again, with the sexual arena, and it has to do with a filthy mouth, a filthy mind, and all the stuff that goes along with that. Idolatry, sorcery, and hatred. Idolatry, you know, obviously is worship of false gods, but there was a bunch of stuff that went with that. Sorcery is pharmakeia in Greek, and it's where we get our word pharmacy. Sorcerers in the first century were drug users. These guys used drugs to go on a trip and never leave the farm. Anybody know what I'm referring to? It was a song. Went on a trip and never left the farm. In any case, sorcery had to do with drug use, and obviously there was a spiritual component to that. Hatred is straightforward. Contentions is just just fighting with people all the time. Jealousies, that's straightforward. Outbursts of wrath, that's overwhelming wrath. It's orge in Greek, and it's the idea of just losing it. And again, it's the idea of not losing it once in a while or getting angry once in a while. It's the idea of that's your lifestyle. Every time you come up against something that you don't like, you are somebody who just loses it. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, and heresies. That's the idea of making parties, splitting people up, trying to get you on my side, trying to get them on their side, you know, having fights, that kind of thing. It can happen in families. It can happen in churches. Revelries, envy, murders, that's straightforward. Drunkenness, that's straightforward. Revelries were what I did every weekend. They were drinking parties. And so it was having a big old huge drinking party where you're literally in the streets drunk, what a revelry was. And so what he says in this passage is those who practice such things, not those who fall to them, we're never perfect as believers. There are going to be times when I get jealous and then the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, what in the world are you thinking? Are you not satisfied with what I've given you? Why do you want what he's got? Right? So there are going to be times when I'm jealous. There are going to be times when I get angry, and angry without a cause. There's a biblical anger and there's a sinful anger. And so there are going to be times when I get angry without a cause and I blow it in an area. But this is not going to be my lifestyle. And so somebody who has a lifestyle like this is walking in the dark. They're by definition outside the light. Then just to give you the balance on that, he says, works of the flesh versus fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law. And so it's works, the things that I do, versus fruit, the things that grow. And so when I'm looking at fruit in my life, I want the fruit of the Holy Spirit to grow in my life. And the reason I'm telling you that is because anytime that I talk about this stuff, people go, okay, yeah, there's things in that list, and I am not going to do it. And, you know, it's like I'm going to knuckle down, buckle down, do it, do it, do it. I'm going to get this thing done, that kind of stuff. And that's just nothing but work. That is not how the fruit of the Spirit grows. So anytime that I'm talking about that, I use my orchard. I have a small orchard out back. I have plum trees. Actually, I don't know if I have plum trees anymore. I think that most of those have died, got rid of those. I have apricot trees, and I have pears, and I have apples, and I have cherries, and I have peaches, and none of those trees ever sweat. None of those trees ever work hard. They're not doing anything but being a tree. And so they sit there and they soak up the water from the ground and the nutrients from the ground, and they stay planted. If I moved my tree every 10 days, my tree's not going to be doing well, right? And so it stays planted in the place where it was planted in the first place. That's what abiding means. It stays planted, it draws up the nutrients, and then the fruit just happens. It grows. They don't grunt, they don't groan. Fruit doesn't pop out. You don't hear a tree moaning out in the orchard. Peach. And a lot of Christians are trying to grow fruit that way. It doesn't work that way. It's fruit. And so as I'm tied in with Jesus, then the fruit comes. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And it says in that passage, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking. This has to do again with the sexual arena. The filthiness, the foolish talking, the coarse jesting has to do, it's just dirty jokes, basically. All the little innuendos that people in the world do.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our summer service times are 8 a.m. in our sanctuary and 10 a.m. in our outdoor amphitheater. We also meet at 6 p.m. Sundays and 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays in our sanctuary. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.